Amen. Thank you. So, I want to start off with a story of how I got involved in youth ministry and children's ministry at large. So, as Bungie mentioned, I started coming here about fall 08. What was I? 23. And it seems so long ago. And, you know, I actually started off in the media. So we were in the old church, but it's, you know, imagine just the booth back there. And I started doing PowerPoint. That's what I was doing in El Paso. And after a certain time, you know, I just grew too powerful. And I said, hey, you know what? I have this desire. I believe I have a teaching gift and I want to be able to use it. Even then in college and throughout high school, I've always gravitated towards just teaching kids. I remember even being a kid myself, and it was about third or fourth grade, and I said, I want to be a teacher, you know, even from way back then. Now, you know, I remember speaking with Jeremy, and we were having lunch, and he's telling me, hey, man, you should probably just sit in the classes and see, you know, where if the Lord is leading you in one direction or the other, and that's what I did. So a couple of Sundays, I went ahead and sat in, you know, the elementary class. And then another Sunday, I sat in the bigger kids class, so the youth ministry, the middle school and high school. And then after those couple of weeks, it just became immediately clear to me, yeah, I'm going to do youth ministry. I'm going to do the older kids. it was just a connection that I had with them. And so I've been serving there since, I think, 2010. I honestly can't remember, but it's been a while. And that's how I got involved in youth ministry and just serving that whole time. You know, and I remember even having talks with the leaders back then about like, hey, now you should come over to youth camp. And I remember being hesitant even back then. You should try youth camp, you know, just, it's a week off, you know, I got to take vacation. I don't know about that. But I did it. And then, you know, I've never looked back. And it's just an amazing, amazing experience. And all that to say is, you know, way back then, I remember just having those talks with people around me that could encourage me and support me and understand, hey, what gifts do you have? And let's see where the Lord is leading you here and let's give some advice here. So it was great. And I am really appreciative for those times and just reflecting on those times as I was preparing the study. It's just cool to see how, you know, God's hand is working all these things out and just to be a part of this body. You know, some people would call this a small church, but you know, whatever label you want to put on it, this is the body that we've been called to. And, you know, God is doing amazing things. We, as Bungie was mentioning, just some of the events that we have going on, we have the men's ministry, we have the Calvary community. I mentioned the youth camp and the VBS, there's women's ministry, so many things that, are going on in this church that people would call like a small church, but so many opportunities to serve. But tonight I'm here to talk to you about children's ministry in particular. Now, specifically also the benefits of children's ministry or the blessings, if you will. So having been in children's ministry or youth ministry for the past 10 years, and then even more recently, I've started getting involved in teaching the younger ones, the elementary class, and sometimes even the preschool class. I have more firsthand experience of like, oh, okay, this is different. And I'll get into that a little bit later, but there's benefits to be had all around. And now I have two kids of my own. One of them's right there. Again, I'll call you Adan. Calling you again. What's up, buddy? And then one's at home. But now, yeah, I have that firsthand experience now. Like, oh, okay, I got to raise these children. And how does that work out in terms of, you know, pointing them towards God and, you know, all the difficulties and the blessings that come along with that. So tonight, we're talking about the benefits of children's ministry. But before we get into the benefits, I want to talk about what is ministry, right? This is a term that I like to call when I talk to the youth. It's like Christianese, right? We throw these terms out. The Christianese terms out. One of them is ministry. You know, we talk a lot about ministry, doing ministry, being in ministry, being called to ministry. But what is ministry, right? And when you look at God's word and you look up the way this word ministry or minister is being used, it really is just pointing us to a simple fact. It is that ministry is it is done by those by the command of God who they go and proclaim and they promote religion among the people. Really is as simple as that. So a minister, really, if you can break it down, is a person doing service And it's done in the power of God for the glory of God. Okay? And really, there's no other boundaries aside from that, right? It's not done in a specific place. It can be done anywhere, and it can be done anytime. So ministry truly is a word that just means to serve, or it means service, right? So maybe we can all just call ourselves minister, so-and-so, you know? Let's go on TV and call ourselves minister. How about that? Don't do that. Anyways, ministry, yeah, it can take place anywhere, anytime. That's really cool when you see it being done in the Bible. Now, the benefits that we're going to study tonight not only apply to, you know, quote-unquote children's ministry as we have it set up here, but it also applies to anyone who spends time serving the little ones around us through the power of the Spirit for God's glory. So keep that in mind as we go over these benefits. And the first one I want to talk to you guys about is the benefit of long days, all right? When you're serving in children's ministry, when you're doing children's ministry, there's the benefit of long days. All right. Now, let me set this up. If you have a Bible with you, and maybe I should have asked if anybody needed a Bible, but if you have a Bible with you, turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Now, in order to set this up, I want to let you know if you have kids, long days means something very specific. So if you have kids, long days comes with the territory of being a parent. And I'm sure you know this. I can recall my time as a kid. You know, all the extracurriculars that I was involved in. So sports, loved basketball growing up, played it all the time. My parents would take me to tournaments, out-of-town tournaments. I remember doing UIL. Do they still do UIL in school? I remember doing like maps, graphs, and charts UIL and spelling bee. You're looking at three-time champion right here. My parents took me to all these events. And as I got older, and now that I have kids of my own, I remember asking this a lot in the early days, like, how did my parents do all that? How did they find time to do all those things? And not just with one kid, right? We had my brother and then also my sister growing up. But how did, man, it's like there's only so many hours in the day that we can do all this, but my parents found the time like just to balance it all. And I'm sure if you have kids of your own, you're nodding your head in agreement. Yeah, it's got to be done. But not only that, you know, my parents were able to take me to all these events, but wouldn't you know that my parents were also my youth leaders at church? So that's a weird combo. So it's like they were always just in my face, you know, they were always just teaching me. Now, I will admit, and this is not something I'm proud of, but I do tell it a lot, is that I made their time as children's ministry leaders very, very difficult. All right? I will share one story, and one of them is my mom. She was teaching on, you know, praising the Lord, and you know, she's a very illustrative person, and she's very creative. And I remember her teaching on, you know, when you raise your hands to praise the Lord, and you raise them like this, it's like you're giving honor and praise to God, and when you're raising your hands like this, you're receiving the blessings from God. You know, it's just it was a cool little object illustration. And, you know, being the kid of the leader there, I got to sit in the front row and right in the middle because that's where my mom wants me to sit. And I was just a class clown throughout my childhood years, and I just raised my hand. But, Mom, what if you want to praise like this? You know, one hand facing outward, one hand facing inward. She immediately kicked me out of the class. My mom was not afraid to kick me out of the class. I got kicked out multiple times also. And so, just go sit with your dad. All right, That's just, you know, one of the stories. So I made my parents' life as a children's leader, children's minister, very difficult. And I don't know if I ever apologized for that, but either way, whether you're a parent or a part of children's ministry, I know you know this. It's like serving kids, serving little ones seems to add a couple of hours to the day. It's like, man, when is this day over? What's going on? But God is faithful, right? And that's a powerful phrase in the life of a Christian, but God. So learn that. It's like, man, all these things could be going on, but God. God is faithful. God comes through with his promises. And let's check out one of these promises, one of these, you know, connected with a command found in Deuteronomy chapter 6. So if you're there in Deuteronomy chapter 6, I want to start in verse 6, and we're just going to read a couple of verses. And this is what we find. This is God speaking to his people. He says, "These words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. So what we see here, this is the Old Testament, right? This is one of the first, you know, five books of the Bible. It's very early on in just the history of the world, really, and God's people are being called out. This is after their time in Egypt, and now God's really just trying to form them into a nation and lead them into the promised land and really just make them an example to the nations around them. And one of the first commandments that he gave to his people was to emphasize the importance of teaching the children the commandments of God. It was so important to God that he gave opportunities for instruction anytime, anywhere, right? If you read that again, he says, you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. Everywhere is an opportunity for God's instructions to be proclaimed to that next generation. So I'm glad, you know, God gave that commandment even way back then. And even though it's true that the main responsibility of teaching is the children is to the parents, right? It is not just focused in on, hey, parents, this is for you. It really is speaking of a community effort, right? The whole community was to be involved in proclaiming God's commandments to the next generation. He was telling all of his people, look, listen, I want you to teach diligently to the children, wherever they go. This is how my commandments are going to survive from one generation to the next. And lo and behold, we find ourselves today in the year 2021. And, you know, God is still active. God's people are still meeting together and proclaiming God's commandments to the next generation. And I find that an amazing, amazing illustration. And this also reminds me of the later accounts. You know, if you continue reading in the Old Testament, right, there were several instances where God's people were so moved by an act of God, a miracle that just happened, or just even when they found forgiveness from God, they found it necessary to all get together as a nation, including the adults and the children, and to recite God's word, the law at the time. And everybody just reviewed it and recited it and found this is God's word. It is true. It is everlasting. It is what brings us into a close relationship with God. And that's also a beautiful picture to understand. So yes, teaching and ministering is certainly important in God's eyes. But now let's read about the benefit. Okay, so just turn a few pages over to Deuteronomy chapter 11. Because there we see that actually this commandment about teaching them teaching God's commandments diligently to the children, it is repeated again in Deuteronomy chapter 11. But if you look at verse 21 of chapter 11, we see the benefit here. And it's this is where God says that your days and the days of your children may be multiplied in the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers to give them, like the days of the heavens above the earth. And there is the promise connected with the commandment. It's like a covenant that God is establishing with his people, right? He says, listen, I have a blessing waiting for you, but this is your part to do, right? You will teach my commandments diligently to all the people, including the little ones. And you'll see that not only your days, but the days of your children will be multiplied in the land that the Lord God gives you. And it's not just, we're not talking about the long days that I was talking about, you know, when you're raising your children, you're just like, how long is this day? No, he's talking about length of life, expansion, extension of life. And it's not just, okay, I get to live a few more years on this earth. No, think about it. When God extends life, and God is the author, he's the source of life, and you understand the way in which he protected his own people in the Old Testament, that comes part and parcel with the promise. He's not only extending life, but he's also extending the blessings and the protection surrounding life. So it is life, but life abundant. Doesn't that remind you of John chapter 10, verse 10? You know, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I come to give life and life abundantly. And that is God's promise to his people. When we focus and we discipline ourselves to teach God's commandments to the little children included in our family. So ministering to children, it can't just be thought of as a method or an opportunity or just kind of this segment of the church that, okay, there's children's ministry, there's men's ministry, there's women's ministry. It's not just that, although that is part of it, right? It's not just about, okay, well, we need to, how do we help kids understand God at their own level? These are all important questions to think about and to help understand and help see it through. Those are parts of it about children's ministry, but it's much more than that. God's desire is for us to make the most of life that we have today and also to maximize the time that we have by spending time teaching and ministering to the next generation. And remember, as I mentioned right at the outset, ministry can happen anywhere at any time. It so happens here at this church, we do have a dedicated children's ministry, and that is happening. We have people with those special gifts of teaching and ministering to these little ones, and they are taking part in this. They're leading these kids into it's like the kids don't know the blessings that are waiting for them. Man, your life is going to be extended if you would just hold on to God's word. And that's something that we try to communicate to them every single week, the importance of living a life that is centered and focused on God. Right, buddy? Yeah, you're right. So, you know, and also if you flip through the New Testament, we see encouragements focused in around building up the knowledge of God in the same way that we're trying to, you know, pass it down to the next generation. For instance, in Ephesians chapter 3, Paul, he's telling the church there, his prayer is for that the church may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. That is truly a great picture of what we're trying to do in children's ministry and just help them to explore and understand the depth and the unending depth and the riches that are found in God's word. And also I mentioned John 10:10 that Jesus has come to give life and life abundant. And again, that these are all just basic gospel truths that we try to communicate to the kids and letting them know there are promises and blessings waiting for you as you grow older. Would you just make that decision to follow closely after God as you continue to get older? So that's the first benefit, which is long days, length of life, God's blessings in expanding our life and making it more abundant. Now, let's look at the second one, which is closeness. So a benefit of children's ministry results in a closeness, not only with God, but to his word. So I want you to turn to Proverbs 22. And here I'm going to share another story here about my childhood. So going back to my time as a child, I can remember my parents sitting my brother and I down at the kitchen table every evening, and we would spend time reading the Bible. And we actually did, you know, the Bible in a year project. And I think it took over a year, but we got through it. And I just, you know, vividly remember those days that we sat down every day after dinner. We would read the Bible, and we got through it. And it was, now I can look back and be like, oh, that was awesome. But I remember being as a kid, I'm like, okay, I need to do something else. I can also remember, even when I was younger, going to Awana. How many of you guys remember Awana? Any older people? No, really? Okay. Awana and the servants there, they worked with us kids in helping us memorize scripture at a young age. I remember going there week after week. And then, this is an odd memory, but I also remember running around my grandparents' house, and I just remember telling everybody that was there, like all my family, I think we were there from some family function. I just remember running to everyone and telling them, like, Romans chapter 13 is my favorite chapter in the Bible. I don't know why I was telling them that. And I remember getting older and reading through Romans 13. I'm like, what did I like about this passage? I don't know. Maybe it was the fact about like following rules and stuff. I don't know. It was just an odd memory. Now, when I got to my teenage years, though, that was a different story. And I tell this to the youth class. I've told this story many times to the youth class, at least, that when I got to around their age, that's the time I was done. I did not like church. Is that me? Yes, it is. That's my dad, the mafia boss, by the way. And yeah, when I was a teenager, I just did not like church anymore. Okay, it's not enough to say I did not like. I hated it. And I tell the kids this. I'm like, I wanted nothing to do with it. I do remember a time in our kitchen at home, and my parents were just talking about something church related, and I just remember blowing up at them saying, would you stop talking about Jesus already? You guys are too radical. I remember yelling at that to them. And they didn't tell me anything. They're just like, no, we're not going to stop. We're going to continue talking. But it was those years, my teenage years, just that teenage angst, you know, and all the awkwardness that comes along with it. But I just hated church. I did not want to go anymore. And I just remember tuning out a lot of the times. I sat in the back row. My parents were there for that chunk in terms of being my leaders. I was like, whatever. I'm just going to sit in the back and not pay attention. Now, it wasn't until I was 20 years old and I was a college student that I gave my life to Christ. And that's another story all in and of itself. But I was 20 years old. And, you know, my parents and my past teachers from Awana or just growing up through church, they weren't there when I gave my life to Christ. They weren't there like, hey, you know, I got to stick with you. I got to stick by your side and continue to teach you and remind you and remind you. No, but in a sense, they were. Their efforts were not in vain. You know, all the dedication and the effort that they put into teaching me God's word, it stuck with me after all those years. And I remember recalling those as I made that decision to follow Christ when I was 20. And this leads me to our verse here in Proverbs 22. Would you read with me in verse 6? Verse 6 reads, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. This is a very short and pithy Proverbs, but it is just a little nugget of wisdom. And I love that it's there. It is a general truth, but it's a great truth that I think, you know, as Christians, we really should, you know, put it close to our heart. Because as we're talking about the benefits of children's ministry, you know, when we read a phrase like train up a child in the way he should go, and that word train up, that phrase in the original language, it's really speaking about giving experience and also making one submissive. And that this is being done in the childhood years, right? So in the childhood years, when you put forth all that effort up front and you're helping that child not only memorize words, but helping them gain experience. So as they go through their experience as a child, you help them connect it with God's word and say, isn't this what God's word talks about? Let's see how God is helping us walk through these experiences in life that we all have when we were kids, right? But then we also help them to understand to be submissive to God's word. This is not just like I'm playing the matching game, like, hey, God's word talks about this going on in your life. No, God's word is true, and it is also giving us the biblical principles and the direction that we should take our lives when we have certain experiences. So train up a child in the way he should go, and he will not, when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now this has boggled a lot of people's minds, and also boggles my mind, because, you know, as you look around, and you guys probably have family members, and that they were trained up in the way they should go. They had biblical instruction, and we probably have family members or friends or coworkers that aren't believers today. So what's up with this verse? And when I read this verse, I don't see it as a, 100% of the time you give biblical instruction and it's like you're just putting them through a machine. Okay, biblical instruction, out comes a Christian. It's not the way it happens, right? People have free will. People make decisions about whether to follow Christ or not on a daily basis. But what I see here is that I like the way the NASB puts it. I think it makes it a little bit clearer, but it says, even when they are older, they will not abandon it. Meaning, I take this to mean that when they are older, you know, God's word is not going to be left on the floor. It really sticks close with them. You know, as you focus your time and effort in those childhood years in training up children in the word of God and how it relates to their life, you will see that even when they are older, they're not going to forget about it. They're not going to abandon it. It is going to be there when they need it in that most crucial time, whenever they're deciding, am I going to become a Christian or am I going to follow my own ways? So when they are older, that time and effort is not in vain as we as children, ministers of children, are putting, you know, those that daily effort. And sometimes it's grueling. Sometimes it's, you feel that, am I even getting into the mind of these kids, right? And especially when they start rebelling, just as I did when I was a teenager. I could imagine just the disappointment and you know, whatever feelings my parents were feeling at the time, like, man, you know, our youngest doesn't even follow Christ. What's going on here? But when I was older, I did recall all those things. And I said, I know the truth, but now is a time that I need to make that decision for my own walk, my own faith. And it's cool because even in the Bible, we see a perfect example. It's a small example. It's a good example, though. It's in the New Testament. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, Paul, he's writing to Timothy, and he just kind of, in passing, mentions this little tidbit of Timothy's life. He says, "When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also." So he's, it's like, oh, he's bringing up the family tree. Now I know who Timothy's grandma was. Okay, it's cool. But when you just stay on there for a little bit, you see, oh, the implication there is that obviously he mentions Timothy's grandma had genuine faith, and then it passed on to Eunice, Timothy's mom, and that was passed on to Timothy, who is now being trained up by Paul to become a pastor there in Ephesus, even at a young age. So we see, again, the diligent effort to teach the children generation to generation, and we see the fruits of it. It's like those, I don't know if you ever heard some story. I remember hearing a story a while back, but it was a study was done where, you know, they looked at certain family trees, and they saw one family tree that was, you know, these parents really dedicated to teaching their kids all about God's word. And, you know, these kids eventually became pastors or ministers or missionaries. And then there was another family tree where, you know, God's word was not, to say the least, a big part of their family. And really it was just live as how you please. And that family tree for a few generations after that, it was just filled with criminals and, you know, ne'er-do-wells. Is that a word? I think it is. But that family tree, essentially, it just stayed stuck. It did not progress. Whereas the family tree where it was dedicated by the parents to raise their children, train up their children in the way it should go. And you see that generation after generation, they were proud and they were motivated to go and spread the gospel message and live as God's people and upstanding citizens in society. That always stood out to me. So just know that as we engage in children's ministry, we're planting seeds in their heart, right? So I'm speaking to parents, but also to children's ministry leaders. We're planting seeds. You know, it may be that we'll never see a confession of faith. You know, that'd be awesome. We always pray for that. And that'd be awesome. If it would have, we should pray that in faith. You know, don't deny that God can't work in these little kids. But just know that we're planting seeds first and foremost. God has called us to preach his word, to train the children in the way it should go, diligently teach him. He doesn't promise us, you know, that, hey, after a certain amount of teachings, you're going to have this many converts and all this kind of stuff. It doesn't work that way. We're to remain faithful. God is faithful, and he's going to work it out in the way that he pleases, in the way that he sees fit. But just know we're planting seeds and know that one of God's promises is that when they're older, God's word is going to remain close to them. Your efforts will not be in vain. When you diligently and faithfully teach God's word to the next generation, just know that they're going to have you in their heart and the words that you spoke to them and the instructions that you gave to them. They're going to hold them close to their heart when they get older, and now it's time for them to make their own confession of faith. So that's the second benefit, which is closeness. And now we lead into our last benefit, which is, you know, a benefit of children's ministry is it serves as a good reminder. All right, and here I want you to turn to Mark chapter 9. And again, I'll tell you a little bit about myself where So I just started teaching, as I mentioned earlier, in children's ministry, so the elementary and preschool classrooms, at the beginning of this year. So, you know, I've been spending my last decade, basically, that sounds crazy, teaching older kids. And I'll just say, transitioning from teaching older kids to younger ones, it takes a little getting used to. So years of teaching in a certain style with certain expectations about my audience, you know, there's a lot of interaction when I teach. I love asking questions and just helping, just trying to figure out, understand where they're coming from. But there's nothing like a group of 5 to 10-year-olds to bring you down a peg or two, right? You know, you feel like you're in a role, you're teaching, man, I'm preaching God's word. It's, you know, I'm rolling with it. And then one kid raises his hand. What are you talking about? Oh, I'm sorry, what? You want me to go back 5 minutes? Okay. And then there's also, you know, they raise up their hand. There's a random question that has nothing to do with the topic at hand, right? It's like you're teaching about, we were teaching on Noah's Ark, you know, for the past few weeks now. And then they always raise their hand. It's like, well, you know, when it was my birthday a couple of weeks ago, I got a dog and what? Okay, we're going to go on this. Okay. If anything, children's ministry is a good reminder that you're not special. It's like being whispered to me on a weekly basis. It's like, you're only doing this by God's help. Okay, you're no special teacher or anything like that. And I think a classic example of this is found in Mark chapter 9. So let's go ahead and read there. Starting in verse 33, there's a very cool story about Jesus interacting with his disciples. And Jesus asks his disciples, what was it you disputed among yourselves on the road? But they kept silent, for on the road they had disputed among themselves who would be the greatest. And he sat down, called the 12, and said to them, if anyone desires to be first, he shall be last of all and servant of all. Then he took a little child and set him in the midst of them. And when he had taken them in his arms, he said to them, whoever receives one of these little children in my name receives me. And whoever receives me receives not me, but him who sent me. Thank you, Jesus, for making such a simple point, but yet a powerful point. And doing an object illustration to boot, right? He's a perfect elementary school teacher here. But yeah, the disciples there, they're over here pridefully arguing about like, I'm the greatest, I'm the greatest. It's like, okay. And Jesus is like, you can imagine Jesus, right? He's fully human. He gets frustrated, I'm sure. He's like, oh my gosh. And rather than just tearing into the disciples like he did with the Pharisees and calling them, you know, whitewashed tombstones and all this, and serpents and all this stuff, he says, look, man, let me get a little kid. If you want to be the greatest, which I know you guys were arguing about, you got to humble yourself like this kid. You got to be like this kid. If you receive this little kid, this little child in front of us, you will receive me. And not only me, but my Father, right? Basically, this is your way to being the greatest. You got to be humbled. You got to be a servant of all. You can't just go into ministry thinking that I got the stuff. You know, I got gifts and I can, you know, use them at will. And I can do a lot of great things. Look at me. It's not the way to do it. Jesus is bringing this down a peg or two by bringing a little child in and she says, this little kid, greater than all of you. And he doesn't even do anything. Look at this little kid. You guys are arguing about how great you are, but you are not even willing to serve the least of these, right? And that really is a lot of what children's ministry is serving the least of these. It is thinking less of yourself, right? When you're there ministering to a kid, and I know parents understand this, right? And it wasn't until I got a kid of my own and I'm there trying to explain some simple thing to them. And you're just like, I've never had to explain this to anybody who doesn't know words, right? You're humbled at that point. You're just like, wow. But when you take it on the flip side and take it from their perspective, they are holding on to your every word. They see this person of authority in their life. They love them. They trust them. And they're just humbled. They're like, you know more than I do. Whatever you say, I'm going to do. I'm going to trust. And that's that balance, right? We have to humble ourselves as ministers, not and basically depend on God for everything. That's truly what he calls us to do, right? In John 15:5, it says, apart from God, we can do nothing. We can do nothing. There's nothing in and of ourselves that is great, right? God even tells us, your best works on your best day is nothing but a rag. It's nothing but a useless rag. Stop doubting on yourself, right? You're nothing. Your works are nothing. It is only through me. And so we need to be humbled. And it's interesting that in Matthew chapter 18, this is actually the parallel passage to, it's the same story, but it's just being told in the Gospel of Matthew. In Matthew chapter 18, Jesus includes this little tidbit. He says, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So he's pointing to this little kid and he's using, this little kid is more humble than you are. And that's where you need to be. And such is the kingdom of heaven. He finishes it off. When we get to heaven, we're not going to have those conversations about who was the greatest and who had the best gifts and who, how many converts did we have and all this you know, useless conversation stuff. Really what we're going to be is just like little kids, just humble in the presence of our God and be like, wow, you did everything. I did nothing. I brought nothing to the table. I was merely a broken vessel to be used by you, God. And so we need to humble ourselves. And that just serves as a gentle reminder. And that's why I love the fact that Jesus did it this way. Again, like I said, he didn't go into them like he does with the Pharisees and the scribes in them. He gently just brought a child and said, look, here's the truth. You need to humble yourself. This is not something you can do apart from me. And so it serves as a gentle reminder that one benefit of children's ministry, of teaching and training up the next generation, is that humility is a requirement. You need to humble yourself and recognize that you must be dependent upon God for anything that comes, any progress you make, any goal that you accomplish within children's ministry, it's all God. Give all glory to him. You say, thanks, but it was my God. He did it through me. I cannot take any credit for it. And again, it's just that picture of the child taking it in, just trusting you with all their heart. When you recognize that, it's like, oh, wow. I have the task of sharing this monumental message and these truths found in God's living word that has changed hearts of men and women all over the world. And now I'm trying to share it with this young kid and they're there just ready to receive it. And God is asking us to be like that little kid. Just say, be humble. Just know that you don't know everything. You don't have everything. And know that I'm the one working in you. And just trust me. And I think that's a great picture. So let's take the wisdom of Jesus at heart as we set out to minister and train up the next generation, and let it be a constant and gentle reminder that we always got to be dependent upon God. So hopefully, you know, you've been blessed tonight as we considered these three benefits of children's ministry, which again, just to review, were long days, abundant life, expanded life here on this earth. Also a closeness, not only to God, but with his word as these children get older, as you put in that diligent effort on the front end, it's not going to be done in vain. You will see the fruits, God willing, on the back end as they get older. And then as we just studied here, benefit of children's ministry is that it serves as a gentle reminder that we must humble ourselves and be dependent upon him for all. Now, there's many more benefits and blessings. I can assure you of that. One of them is patience, for sure. But as we close out tonight's study, I'd just like to remind you of two things. Number one, please keep our children's ministry servants in prayer as they fulfill their calling in coming alongside the parents in ministering and training up the kids here at Calvary South Austin. And, you know, if you feel called to minister to kids in this way, this is a gift that you know you have. Let's chat. Let's pray about it. And let's see where God would have you placed in the children's ministry. And lastly, I want to remind you that children's ministry, again, as I said at the outset, it can happen anywhere and anytime by anyone. Again, Calvary South Austin has a children's ministry, but that's not the whole of children's ministry. Everyone in here can minister to the young, to the young ones, to the next generation. And so may this church family take God's commandment to heart, to teach God's commandments diligently to our children in the house, in the church, in the hallway, everywhere you go. Maybe not the bathroom. Let's wait till we get out. But let's be encouraged as we see our children turn to the Lord as they grow older. All right? Amen? Let's pray.